Bless the name of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. Worship the Lord together. Just like to pray before we look into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of your Word. We have it, Lord, that you've given it to us through prophets and Lord, through ministers of your gospel, through your apostles, and through men of God who laid down their lives so we should have it in our own language. Lord, we bless you for your word. Thank you for it today. And Lord, just pray you'd unfold some of its treasures, new and old, to us again today. In your precious name, we ask it. Amen. Yeah. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus simply wonderful? Get so excited singing that song. Yeah, I love noise. I really do love noise in God's house. I think God's house up there is a very noisy place. I think it was Martin Luther who said, "Heaven must be full of children." And one of the highlights of our time in Cambodia was on Children's Day. It was a government holiday. They have more government holidays in Cambodia than any other country in the world. So there we are. An item of information that you might want to use one day. yeah, probably on Pointless or whatever. But yeah, and we used to have a Children's Day on that day and at church. And we'd go and pick up children from around... Oh, it's our Christmas. That's right, Children's Christmas Day. And I got a pickup truck, and I used to go out to villages to pick up children. And no health and safety out there, of course. So the record was 28 kids in this pickup truck, all singing, "Isn't the love of Jesus simply wonderful?" yeah. Oh, wonderful. Great. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to turn with me this morning... to 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 to start with, and we'll go a few other places. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, and what I'd like to share about is being and becoming sons of God, and it's a huge subject, but anyway, there's a few verses that I feel the Lord wants me to share on, and "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God!" Exclamation mark. "Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him." Yeah, when Jesus of Nazareth walked down the street of Nazareth with his carpenter's tools in his bag, going to a house to fix a window or a door, or taking a yoke on his shoulder to somebody for their oxen to plough with, nobody looked at him and said, "There's the Son of God walking down the street." And so they won't say that about you and me either. If we love the Lord this morning, people won't say that about us. But you know, there was the fragrance of God about the life of Jesus wherever he went. And people must have noticed that man is different from this community around. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Behold, that's an important word in the Bible. It means take a look at this, look carefully, consider, think about it. It's very important. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, what kind of love God has shown towards you and me that we should be called children of God. John likes using the word children. Paul likes using the word sons. But they mean basically the same thing. God is doing something in your life and mine that is amazing. And angels look on us in wonder. And they'd love to come and ask you whatever is going on in your life. And sometimes you might wonder yourself whatever is going on in your life. But that's the fact. We are in, if we love the Lord Jesus this morning, we're in a different realm from ordinary life. We're living an extraordinary life in an ordinary world, aren't we? We have our feet on the ground and our hearts are in heaven with Jesus. We are dust and we are divinity. So behold, think about it. So I just feel we should think about it. Our sonship in Christ. A few weeks ago I was talking to John in here, and we were talking about God's clock. And I feel this subject is to do with God's clock, and we'll see that in a moment. The last days, we don't know when the last of the last days will be, but God's clock somehow began a countdown round about the time of the Reformation to speed things up. And God poured out his Spirit during the time of the Reformation. You know, there were churches in Cambridgeshire where dozens of people had to be carried out horizontally because they were slain by the Spirit under the preaching of God's Word. That happened in the 1550s. And then 1700s, there was a wonderful outpouring on the Moravians as they met together to worship the Lord in Bohemia, now present-day Slovakia, I think. And from that spread over to the Wesleys and Whitfield and our country here. And from that, there began a missionary movement out to the nations. And, of course, the most famous missionary of those times, William Carey, who in 1792 went to India and never returned. And he and his team translated the New Testament into 13 different languages. What an achievement that is. Yeah. And then Henry Martin went out about 1805 to India and then to Persia and translated two New Testaments in his short lifetime. Then in 1839, Robert Murray McShane and Andrew Bonar went to Israel on a mission of discovery to find out the situation of the Jews in Israel. It was God's clock marking a moment in history. 1858, there was a revival, an impetus for missions, and Hudson Taylor, a China inland mission to reach what is now about a fifth of the world's population. 1898, the Zionist movement began and a return of Jewish people to Israel. 1917, General Allenby walked into Jerusalem and freed it from Muslim rule for the first time in several centuries. In fact, a very long time, apart from brief periods. In 1948, the State of Israel was declared, another highly significant moment in God's clock. We come down to 2017. Where are we? God is bringing many sons to glory. If you think up to the time of the Reformation, the number of Christians in the world was relatively small. I don't know how many. You could probably find it if I'd done the research, but I haven't done that, I'm afraid. But from 1500s to now, the number of Christians has exponentially increased. So that there are a third of the world's population now would call themselves Christians. A third of the world's population, that's 2,000 plus million people alive right now who would call themselves Christians. Christianity far outstrips any other religion on the face of the earth. Did you know that? In the number of people who are currently believers. And God is adding to that number even while I'm talking here. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus simply wonderful? God's love spread out to the nations. And we're in the time when the fullness of the Gentiles is being brought in. People of every tribe, tongue and nation are coming to know Jesus all over the world. Fantastic that our young people are going out to Uganda to share his love there. That's wonderful. Yeah. So here we are. God is doing amazing things. And when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then there'll be a mighty movement to God for the nation of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? God's plan is beyond our imagination. Anyway, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And here's John writing. He's in Ephesus, which is a place where the Gentiles poured in multitudes to the Lord, and they came and they believed in Jesus, and God worked mighty miracles among them. You can read about it in Acts chapter 19. And God made many sons there. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 now. Galatians chapter 4. Thinking that this is the wondrous love of God that's doing this. This is the whole basis of what's happening today, is the wondrous love of God began the countdown on his clock, and here we are in 2017 and we are involved in it if we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to say that. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 and then jump to 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Note, you are not sons of God by nature. This is the great mistake that many make, and I myself made it for 10 years. I went to church week in, week out, thinking I was a Christian simply because I lived in a Christian country. And then one day God woke me up, praise him, and I learned that I was a sinner by nature, and I was deserving of his wrath by nature because of my sin that I could do nothing about. But there was a man who had come from heaven, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus means Savior, the one who saves us from our sin. Hallelujah! Glory to his wonderful name. Here was a man who could help me in my sin and take it away. And I asked him to do that, and he did it. Glory to his wonderful name. And I've been back to him many times since to ask him to take my sins away, and he has. Hallelujah. That's the thing to do, beloved, isn't it? When, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There's a man up there for you and me, and he speaks for you and me when we need him for that wonderful cleansing of forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wondrous name. So we have to come by faith in Jesus Christ. Get on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I can't do anything about it, but I know that you died for my sins. Please come and take my sins away forever. And when we pray that prayer sincerely from our hearts, Jesus comes. Jesus himself comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he does that work. And he makes us become sons of God. Sons and daughters. Sons here means daughters as well, of course. For as many as have of you as were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? In Paul's day there were slaves and there were bosses. In our day, all classes, there's no class distinction here, there's no racial distinction. There's no gender distinction, male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise, heirs of God's blessings that God promised through Abraham. Through you shall all the families on earth be blessed. Wondrous man. A man who obeyed God. Just walked out of town one day and never went back. He took one small step of obedience. You know, maybe you need to take one small step of obedience today. Just lay your life down before Jesus and say, Jesus, I've held on to my life up till now. I've been in this church for I don't know how long, but I've been hanging on to my life. Lord, please take my life now. Take it today and take it forever. Hallelujah. And he'll do that because he's here. Bless his wonderful name. He's here to do wonders amongst us. And then Paul goes on to say some things. Let's go to verse 3 of chapter 4. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's the elemental powers, demonic spirits that work through the thoughts of mankind, mainly and in various ways. But when the fullness of the time had come, when God's clock struck the hour for the first coming of the Lord Jesus, Jesus came. Hallelujah. God found a pure woman who received his son as a holy seed into her life, and he was born through her, a virgin. She gave birth to him, God's holy son. That holy child shall be called the Son of the highest. To redeem those, and this is why he came. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's a wonderful relationship to be in, beloved, isn't it? Are you in that relationship this morning? Are you in that relationship? If so, rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For you're in the most wonderful relationship that ever was or ever will be in time and in eternity. Yeah. He came down to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, the Jewish people specifically were under the law. They had the law of God. To them belonged the adoption, as Paul says it in Romans chapter 9 and verse 4. They were adopted as a nation under God for God's purposes and plan of redemption for the whole world. They were led by a man who was adopted. Moses, Moshe, drawn out of the water. Adopted into Pharaoh's family. But he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. And now God comes to you and me, that we might receive adoption as sons. The Gentiles were a law unto themselves, Paul says in Romans as well. The Jewish people had the law of God, which gave them parameters to live by and kept them from so much. But sadly, there was that rejection of God's law and a turning to the idolatrous ways of the nations around them. And in the end, God had to deal with them severely to bring them back to himself and prepare the way for the Messiah to come. But because you are sons, God, hallelujah, God prepared a way for you and me to become sons. So by nature, we can't be sons. Even if you've been born into a loving Christian family, and you've had that blessing since the day that you took your first breath, by nature, you can't be a son of God. It can only happen because the Spirit of God comes into your heart and creates you anew, makes you new, makes you a new man, a new woman, makes you and me new people in Christ Jesus. The way in is by repentance, turning away from our dead works of religion and going in faith to Jesus himself, the person of Jesus, the living Christ. Remember that wonderful verse that was mentioned last week, I think. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Wonderful invitation from the Lord to let him into our lives. And any of you who've seen Holman Hunt's picture that hangs in a gallery somewhere in this country, two or three places, I think, probably the National Gallery is one. There is Christ, the light of the world, standing outside the door, waiting to get to come in. But what's the problem? There's no handle on the outside. The handle's on the inside, and that's our will. And when we will open the door to him, he will come in and make us new men and women. Glory to his wonderful name. And when he does that, when he comes in, he adopts us by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost into God's family. Hallelujah. Into a relationship we could never be in before and never were in before. But now we can be. And now we can enjoy it. A relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, that will go on from day to day, moment by moment, hour by hour, until the day when we see him face to face. And then it will be forever in glory with him. Hallelujah. Adoption of sons. What does it mean? Sorry, I get excited. What does it mean to be excited? I do get excited. We should be excited, shouldn't we? Okay, thank you. Okay, what is adoption? It's the giving to anyone, definition, okay? The giving to anyone, the name, place, status, and privileges of a son who is not a son by birth. This is referring to the Bible definition of adoption, referring to a son. Obviously, nowadays, it could be a daughter. God brings us into his family. We have no name. He found us in our blood in the wilderness. We had no status. We were cast out. This is all in Ezekiel. We were cast out like an untimely birth, just abandoned in the desert. And God saw us, and He loved us, He washed us, He rubbed us with salt, and He brought us into His family. That's all in Ezekiel, yeah. God comes like that. We had a wonderful experience of this in Thailand, hearing about it, I should say. There was a brother, Ajahn, teacher, Narin. I may have got his name wrong, please forgive me. But this man was speaking at a meeting we were in northeast Thailand one day with a group of villagers. And he said this. He said, I and my wife had been married for quite a long time. And the Lord hadn't given us any children. We'd been to Him about it many times, and still the Lord hadn't given us any children. And then he said one day he lived in Bangkok. And he said, I was driving through Bangkok from a meeting, and I had to go through some dark lanes. Now, Bangkok, even in the bright streets, is pretty dark. Well, it was in those days. But in the dark lanes, you can't see anything. And he was driving through this lane. It was raining. And in the rubbish-strewn street, he saw a cardboard box. So something inside said, stop the car. So he stopped the car. And he got out. He went and picked up the cardboard box, and when he opened it, there was a baby boy inside, being abandoned, probably from a factory worker. And anyway, he took the child home, and he and his wife cared for the child. The next day, they went to the nearest police station and said, can you trace the mother of this child? And the police tried, and they couldn't find the mother. So Ajahn Narin and his wife adopted that little boy as their own son. And he now has their name. He had no name in the cardboard box. There wasn't even a name pinned to his little jacket. He had no status. Nobody knew where he'd come from. He had no future. But now this little boy, he'll be a full-grown man now. But anyway, he has a name, he has a status, and one day he will inherit his mother and father's estate. So God adopts us into His family and gives us a name, a new name. And then He also gives us His Spirit, who cries in our hearts, Abba, Father. This is the cry of the newborn. Abba, word, as we know, means daddy in Aramaic, which was Jesus' first language, still spoken in parts of Syria by a few thousand people. There's quite a number of Aramaic words in our New Testament, of course. Talitha kumi, little girl, I say unto you, arise. That's Aramaic. The Lord spoke Aramaic as He went around. And the Lord, as a full-grown man, used this cry, Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's in Mark 14 and 36. Where the Lord, in the agony of His Spirit, as a man facing the cross in the next few hours and all the sufferings that would precede the cross and the cutting off from His Father's face, in all that agony, He cried, Abba, Father. And you and I can cry to our Father in our agony too, at any time, because Jesus has made a way for us. And here Paul uses the word that we might receive the adoption as sons. The word is huiothesia, which in Greek means adoption as mature sons. Not tekna, which is little children, but huios, a mature son. Huios, a son, thesia, from a verb tithemi, which means to place. So in other words, we're placed in relationship with God as His mature sons. Isn't that beautiful? You know, God doesn't pick us up out of our sin and dirt and rubbish. He doesn't pick us up out of the mire and dust and trash of the streets and put us in a corner and say, stay there and, in some time I'll come back and look at you. No, He picks us up and He clasps us to His bosom. And He loves us there. And He'll love us there for all eternity. That is a wonderful picture. in I think it's the Song of Moses, at the end of Deuteronomy, where he says, Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, shall dwell in safety by him. He shall dwell between his shoulders all the day long. And I think I've said this before, is a picture we saw in Asia of particular tribes people working in their fields, and the mother had the little baby strapped to her back, and it was there tied to her back all day, and as she worked in the fields, and it was perfectly happy there, because when it needed a feed it got a feed, and when it needed to sleep it slept on her back in a place of perfect safety and protection. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God does for you and me, beloved. He lifts us up into heavenly places in Christ, and in there we are spiritually kept by the power of God unto the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's get excited. All right, God's word comes to us for adoption as sons. Let's go to John chapter 8 for a moment. John chapter 8, and see what the Lord Jesus said about that. John chapter 8, verse 32. Sorry, I'm going slowly here. John chapter 8 and 32. We'll start to 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that wonderful? John's already spoken about the Freedom in Christ course. You know, as we expose our hearts and minds to God's word, the truth of God's word sets us free. It's a glorious thing. I remember speaking to a Thai pastor once, and he said, it takes 5 years to renew the mind of a Buddhist, and 7 years to renew a Buddhist to the point where they are able to minister the word of God. Now, I know God in his mercy can do a much shorter work than that, but generally speaking, that's true. And what we did time after time after time was just bring the word of God, teach the word of God. What does the word of God say? You know, how does our life match up to the word of God, not the other way around? Yeah? And so often it was the word of God that brought the freedom, the release, the life of God rising up more and more in the life of a believer. It's a wonderful thing to see. The truth shall make you free. As we listen and hear the word of God, let's have our hearts, as Amy Carmichael said, open meditatingly to receive that love, to receive that word with love, receive it in humility. As we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, so it works inside us, beloved, and makes us free. Makes us free in what way? Well, all sorts of ways. If you're like me, there are habits of thought, or of emotions, or a body that need to be shaken off and trampled underfoot by God's grace. You know, ways of thinking that we brought from our past life into our life with the Lord. And the Lord wants to change us. He's making in us the image of his Son. Paul says, doesn't he, in Philippians chapter 2, it is God who is at work in you. It's God at work. We're God's unfinished business while we're here on earth. We're a work in progress for sure. And sometimes God puts up a stoplight. You know, temporary lights on the road. You'll have met them. Sometimes God puts up a stoplight and said, okay, no further with me until you fix this thing. It's a rusty little bit in a motor behind the wheel arch. And you may have overlooked it. You may not have noticed it was there until suddenly one day God brings you up sharp and you realize, I shouldn't be thinking like this. I shouldn't be letting these thoughts into my mind, whether it's of thinking yourself big or too small, or thinking that God doesn't love me anymore, or thinking that I wish I was like him or her, so I'm not content with who I am, or thinking I wish I was somewhere else. and then I'd really be what God wants me to be. And God says, no, I want you right here, because here is where I'm working in you. And here is where you'll see me at work, in you and through you. And things like that, emotions. Somebody wrote a book called Our Rebel Emotions, and I can identify with that. Why do I react in some ways that I do react in? Sometimes I have to stop and think. I think, why? Why am I feeling this way? You know, well, sometimes it's the old devil's trying to sit on us, isn't he? Sitting on our shoulders and whispering stuff into our ears. But other times it's because we're allowing something into our life that God doesn't want to be there. This is a famous story of Watchman Nee. And he was walking along a beach one day feeling really heavy and down and defeated. And suddenly a word of God came into his mind. And he had a walking stick with him because he had been quite ill as well with this thing that was on him. And a word of God came to his mind. I can't remember exactly what the word was, but he stuck his stick in the sand. And he said, from this point on, I am no longer going to live in that emotion. And he walked on, and he never did from that day forward. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I know a young missionary who was, a missionary candidate, and he was suffering from a kind of depression. And he overheard somebody say, oh, look at that young man, he looks really down. And that was a word that awakened him. I don't need to look down. I'm a son of God. God has given me a relationship with him. Hallelujah. He loves me. He cares for me. He's leading me on to glory. And Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And then in 36, he says, 34. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And he's been talking about slavery and bondage. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Isn't that a wonderful word from the Lord? It's a promise of freedom from sin for you and for me in our daily life, that we can walk with him in white. And okay, sometimes we might get stained from the world, but we can go to him in repentance and faith again and say, Lord, please cleanse me of this and help me by your grace never to fall that in that place again, never to stumble in that place, never to fall in that dirty hole. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son of God comes with the Word of God, and it is power. It is power. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 for one more word about sons. That is an amazingly encouraging one for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This is where we are on holy ground, very much so. It was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In the first chapter of Hebrews, verse 3, we read this about the Lord Jesus, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. The Lord, all things are by the Lord. In other words, the created world that we see, the whole created universe came into being by the spoken word of the Lord. He spoke it into being. From the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the whole creation came into being. And he upholds this creation. by the word of his power. Just spent a few days in the countryside, and one of the beautiful things is the birds that were there, and just sitting watching the birds feed is marvellous, really good. And they all feed on different stuff in different places, and each one has its particular shaped beak for its particular food. Now, certain people might use the word evolved, but when you look, I mean to say, designed is a far better word. Yeah, how can a seed-eating bird think up its own beak? Yeah, really? Yeah. Anyway, but apart from that, how many billion birds are there in the world today? And Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Feeds in the present tense. Yeah? They don't store away because God feeds them day by day. And you and I, as sons and daughters of the living God, we have the promise of God for his supply for all our needs. Hallelujah. And his protection over our lives. We are in a relationship with him which he has said can never be broken. It's a covenant relationship brought into being through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here God says, I'm bringing you to glory. How about that? Have you considered that recently? Since last Monday? Yeah. God is bringing you and me to glory. But it had to be through the sufferings of our captain of salvation, our Lord Jesus, our great file leader. He had to pass through suffering. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says that our Lord was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then if we go on to Hebrews 5 verse 8, Hebrews 5 verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's an amazing statement. I mean, the Lord Jesus was absolutely perfect, sinless in his nature, all wise, all knowing, all loving, all kind. And yet he had to learn some things as a man. I mean, he learned his trade at the carpenter's bench with Joseph, working with his hands. Well, that tells me that working with our hands is a good thing. If the Almighty God worked with his hands when he came to earth, working with your hands is a good thing. And then he suffered he went out and began preaching when the time, God's clock ticked at the right time, he went out and preached. And then he had the contradiction of sinners. But he was obedient. He went out and he preached. And he went to his hometown and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. And he went back again and they still wouldn't receive him. But he'd been obedient to God. He'd done the thing that God wanted. You know, and those small steps of obedience in the life of the Lord Jesus led to that mighty step of obedience to the cross. And in your life and mine, beloved, I am thoroughly convinced that small steps of obedience to the Lord will lead us to glory. Yeah? That famous Chinese proverb, journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Yeah, right. What is the one step that God wants you to make today in obedience to him? Maybe some small thing, maybe something you've forgotten about, maybe something you've overlooked, maybe he spoke to you 3 months ago and the thing still isn't working. And God wants you to fix it. And because as you fix that, then your life and relationship with Jesus will go on to another step, go on to another something or other. I don't know what it is, but some other relationship with God that's bigger than you or I have ever been in before, because we've done the thing that he wants us to do. Glory to his wonderful name. He leads us on to glory through a wilderness of cares, through 10,000 snares, wrote Wesley. And we may have to go through a wilderness experience to find that place of glory. You know, the Israelites, of course, they were led through the wilderness. And God said to them in Deuteronomy, I know you're great walking through this wilderness. I know you're walking, through this great wilderness. And then later in Deuteronomy, it's in chapter 8, he says, your sandals didn't wear out and your clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. They were a living testimony to the power of God, to the keeping power of God, even in their very dress, the things that they wore. Can you imagine not having to buy a pair of shoes for 40 years? You'd probably be fed up with them, wouldn't you, by that time? But they were kept by the power of God. Their food came from heaven. Hallelujah. Their water came out of a rock. Glory to God. And there was the presence of God leading them, and still they wouldn't believe. Well, let's be different. Let's be different. Let's not be like that. Let's receive with faith. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. And let it work in us, beloved, so that God gets glory out of your life and mine in this age in which we live, in this day in which we live. Hallelujah. Standing for him as mature sons, mature daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. Not that we are anybody, but that Jesus is everything. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. It may be through suffering in the body that we come to glory. Jesus suffered in the body. And there are some questions in that that we can never answer. Paul went to God with a question, and the Lord said to him, it's just my grace is sufficient for you. I'm with you in it. I'm with you in it. And so he said, okay, Lord, I'll stick with it and I'll trust you to keep me through it. It may be through economic hardship. Maybe times are tough for you. Things are tight. Well, remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, for our sakes became destitute. Became destitute that we might become rich. Are you receiving his riches today? This is one of his riches, realizing where he's brought us, where he's brought us from, and what he's brought us into. Glory to his wonderful name. There may be the mockery of unbelievers that we have to go through in order to inherit glory. Well, even the Lord's brothers and sisters, well, his brothers anyway, didn't believe in him. Where will it end? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Find the ending. It's great when you have the ending already told you before you get to the end. Do you ever sneak to the back of the book? I tell you, the back of this book is a great place to sneak. There's some amazing stuff in there. Anyway, which I don't understand. But anyway, the Lord knows. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Verse 7, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. How about that? Here is Paul writing to Corinthians. Okay, writing to the Greeks, who had the most advanced civilization on the face of the earth. Far better than the one that followed them, the Roman one. But anyway, their glory was in wisdom. They discovered the treasures of wisdom. And here Paul says to them, we've got a hidden wisdom, something that this world knows nothing about. But you and I, God has given us the key that unlocks the treasures of his wisdom, and he's put it in your hand. Hallelujah. And the key is Jesus Christ. And the knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit as we open our lives to him. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What a beautiful verse to end on. The Lord is leading many sons to glory, and Let the thought of him leading us on through all that we go through day by day encourage us today, beloved, that he is in control, he is in charge. He's the Lord who's taking us through, and he'll take us through to the end. Glory to his name.